Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. And we're in this great season of the church year, the beginning of the church year, the season of Advent. The church worldwide, we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord, or the comings of the Lord, you might say, for certainly the celebration of Christmas and the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also it's a time when we have one eye on Christmas and his birth, but we also have an eye on the return of the Lord, the second coming. It's another season in the church year, along with Lent. It's a key time of preparation. This one isn't as penitential as Lent is, but nonetheless, it's a time for us to be alert, to be awake, to do what we need to do, to align ourselves, to be in the position that Jesus really commands us to be in the Gospels, which is to be awake, to be alert, to be sober, to be ready, to be looking forward, to be engaged in the life and the calling, the specific things that Jesus himself has called us to do as a sign of readiness. It's also a season of intensification of our prayer and expressing to the Lord our desire to wait and to watch. The Catechism has a beautiful paragraph. I've read it many times on the program where it talks about that this time between the two comings of Jesus, between the incarnation and his second coming, when he will judge the whole world, his judgment will come and Satan will be definitively destroyed. He said, this season between the two comings of Jesus is a time of the Spirit and of witness, and it's a time of waiting and watching. And it's a time of spiritual combat. So hopefully in this season, you've been able to set aside some time. It's kind of crazy because this time of the year, it gets really intensified. You know, the busyness of schedules and all the activities and all the shopping and things, it can kind of squeeze out the time we need to be attentive to the Lord. So I want to encourage you to make sure and do that. If you haven't really put together a simple plan to make that happen during the season of Advent, it's not too late. I'd encourage you to do that. Maybe put down a visit to the Adoration Chapel once a week, an hour before the Lord, or getting up 15, 20 minutes, a half hour earlier and setting it aside in a moment of quiet before anybody gets up in your house to be able to have time to be attentive to the Lord and be in that posture of waiting and watching and listening, because he wants to give us grace. He wants to commune with us and prepare us for not only what he's called us to do, but to be a prophetic people who are anticipating his coming with great fervor. Today, I want to talk about the gospel reading the church gives us from chapter 5, the beautiful story, the inspiring story of Jesus healing a paralytic, the man who was let down through the roof, and Jesus forgave his sins. This reading is full of drama. You have the Pharisees who are really opposed to the Lord. Jesus is teaching. They've gathered around, the Pharisees from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and teachers of the law. They're concerned about Jesus. Jesus knows exactly who they are. He reads their heart, each one of their hearts. You'll hear it in the reading. He knows what he's up against with them. And then he uses the situation because they're full of skepticism. They're resisting him. And he manifests the power of God, the Father, who confirms Jesus' authority to forgive sins, which is very powerful. So pay attention to the presence of healing. Pay attention to the faith of the brothers that brought the paralytic to Jesus. Pay attention to the conflict that's there between Jesus and the Pharisees and how Jesus uses that moment. And the Father confirms in him really his divinity and his authority to stand in the name of God the Father. So I'll do the reading here, Luke 5, 17 and following. One day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was with him for healing. And some men brought on a stretcher, a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to ask themselves, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them in reply, "What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home. He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. And struck with awe, they said, we have seen incredible things today. It's such a beautiful, powerful passage, and an important moment in the ministry of Jesus, an important moment of revelation, of the slow revealing of the lordship and majesty and divinity and authority of Jesus. And we see the fundamental purpose here for which Jesus came was to bring forgiveness of sins to the world. And the Pharisees, who were opposing Jesus all along, knew that only God could forgive sins, right? So this is what happens as the drama begins to unfold. And I love the way Luke describes it. He said the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they came from every village in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. That's a pretty wide range. And they're all there, and they're trying to figure out who Jesus is. And what we'll see in Luke's gospel, and especially in John's gospel, is the intense resistance of the religious leaders, the proprietors of the people of Israel, and those who are responsible for the temple and temple worship and sacrifice. And forgiveness of sins happened in the temple through sacrifice and through the priestly order. And so they were being challenged. And the whole order with which Israel was thought that sins could be forgiven is now being turned on its head. So it goes on. So they're sitting there and they're trying to measure what Jesus is saying, right? And they're trying to get him, as we'll see in many readings, they're trying to catch him and hopefully get him to stumble, contradict himself, or say something that was completely unacceptable. And Luke says, the power of the Lord, that's God the Father, was with him for healing. So Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Remember when he was baptized in the River Jordan? And there was a manifestation, there was a theophany, a presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Luke makes clear, as Jesus leaves the River Jordan and he goes into the desert and he does spiritual warfare under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who encourages and strengthens him, he encounters our mortal enemy. And he begins the spiritual battle that's ultimately going to lead to Calvary, where he destroys the power of Satan and the hold that he has on human beings because of our saying yes to sin and being trapped in what St. Paul would describe as the reign of sin and the reign of sin and death, because the sin problem produces the death problem. So Jesus is coming to make war and to reveal his kingdom, his reign and his authority. And one of the ways he does it is through the forgiveness of sins, because he indeed has the power to forgive sins. He's the only one, ultimately, right, who has the power to forgive sin. And he also confirms that, and the Father confirms it in Jesus by working through him, by giving Jesus in that moment the power to heal. The reading goes on. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles in the front of Jesus. Imagine yourself sitting in that moment. There's a whole crowd that's pushing in around Jesus. There's no way to get in. The crowd's so dense. And so they make their way up on the roof and they drop him down. Can you imagine just sitting there, everybody looking up with their jaws wide open? The ceiling, the roof has been opened, and this man, paralyzed man, is being lowered down right in front of Jesus. And he's really symbolic for me of the condition of the human heart that's paralyzed in sin, in a condition of unfreedom. And it's being manifested. Of course, in those days, many thought that that kind of sickness even could be a manifestation of the reality of sin. So here his eager friends are, and they know that Jesus is the one that can set him free. Their friend is captive. He needs to be set free. And Jesus notices it. He said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, as for you, your sins are forgiven. And so it was the faith of his brother, so this paralytic, his friends. They had expectant faith. It's a very important thing to be able to see in the Christian life, is God loves faith. He loves expectant faith, that faith really believes that Jesus has the authority. And you know, Jesus rewards and often compliments, whether it's the centurion, whether it's the woman who had the flow of blood who had expectant faith. If I could just touch his garment, that's a faith. That's a way of seeing Jesus and knowing and trusting and believing in Jesus that corresponds to who Jesus actually is. So Jesus' response to him is to forgive. The first thing is to forgive his sins. Now, did the man repent? Did they say anything? We don't have any indication that he's saying something out loud, but Jesus knew the condition that he was in. Jesus knew the condition of his soul, not only his body, and in this case, there could have been a relationship between the condition of his body and his soul. But he goes on, he said, then the scribes and the Pharisees began to ask themselves, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins? And isn't that the point of what Jesus is now going to show them? Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them in reply, what are you thinking in your hearts? Jesus is always provoking these men, and by exposing the true condition of their heart and their resentment toward Jesus and their resistance to the coming of the kingdom of God. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, which they just saw him do. And they're saying, you can't say that, you don't have the authority. Now Jesus said, which is easier, to say that or to say, rise and walk and perform a miracle? And so as the scripture teaches, as Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, that God the Father confirmed the teaching of Jesus through signs and wonders, right? It said here in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst. Here's one of the moments that Peter was speaking about, and Peter saw this happen, that God the Father, the healing was upon Jesus in that day, and Jesus raised this man. He said, I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home. And what happened? He did just that, and the man stood up immediately. Imagine the crowd. Wow. They describe it here. He picked up his mat, he obeyed the Lord, the one he was lying on, and he went home glorifying God. The sign and the wonder manifested the presence of God. It confirmed the preaching of Jesus and his teaching, his authority. And what did it do? It struck awe in the hearts of everyone who was present. He said, we have seen an incredible thing today through the person of Jesus Christ. Friends, may we have the kind of faith that the men who brought their paralytic friend who looked like he had no hope, no one could help this man. He couldn't help himself. He was totally paralyzed. But they had caught wind of Jesus. And among them were those who had faith, real faith. And it was their faith that moved them to bring this brother to Jesus. It's a great lesson for us in this, to live by faith ourselves. How many men and women do you know who are in need of having their sins forgiven, in need of being healed, of deep, profound internal wounds or physical healing? Is there anything in you that stirs up and believes that, yes, we can bring this person to Jesus? Let's help people come to the one who can set them free. John's gospel, John tells us that greater signs than these will accompany those who believe. Today, Jesus wants to manifest his authority. God the Father wants healing. As Jesus said, you'll be clothed with power when I send you forth to preach the gospel. That the healing that was on Jesus, that God the Father was working in him, that same spirit, that same anointing comes to those who step out in faith in the church, and we see healings even happen today because it confirms exactly what Jesus said, exactly what the scripture tells us, that these signs will accompany those who believe. And we're certainly living at a time when the glory of God needs to be manifested, and may we all be struck with awe and confidence in God as he works his wonders among us. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.